you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were...
Welcome, 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 everyone. We are excited to be here. We're back with another episode from your favorite co-host of
Level 3 Heat.
We're back in business. Let me tell you. We are actually recording this live and together and 6 feet apart because Corona is still prevalent.
Sure is.
So excited that we are able to do this live. We have a special episode in store today and we are just, I'm like smiling so much. Like, I don't know.
I'm very happy. I'm very, very happy.
So to kind of kick things off, we'll tell you what we've been up to, starting with a very special date today. Today is, you want to say it, Anne?
Coronavirus. Stop. Okay, so today's August 1st, and it's officially the 1 year anniversary of our podcast.
We made it. We didn't kill each other yet, so I'm happy to continue the next year with these two ladies.
We didn't kill each other yet. That's the key. No, but very excited to be celebrating this 1 year. It's been a fun journey and we can't wait to keep producing more content. Aside from that, we are unfortunately still in Corona times. Literally, I carry my mask like I carry
your chapstick.
My chapstick nowadays. I feel helpless without it. Anybody else?
And the hand sanitizer and the
hand
wipes.
Hand sanitizer is a starter pack,
actually.
I have
them all in my purse.
No, it's an entire starter pack. So we are just trying to move, but we're so blessed because we all still are healthy, working, you know, there's income, we are with our families, so it's all good there, right?
They gotta go.
Your family?
They just be getting on my nerves. We just been together for too long now.
We'll take that part out.
No, I'm gonna actually make sure her mom gets it.
No, stop!
No, but we are still in Corona, so just moving forward from there. Aside from that, in worldly news, you know, there's been an explosion of police brutality and, you know, louder cries for social justice, which, you know, as three black women, we're really at the center of that. So, you know,
it's been overwhelming.
I think it's overwhelming mentally.
Mm-hmm. And just seeing it like on social media every single day. Yeah, it's like a lot to process and take in.
You guys, like, actually went out there, bless your hearts, protesting. I feel
bless your hearts. Like,
I feel it was pretty chill,
like
though.
A very fake black person. My cards are revoked.
I think there's other ways to be a part of the movement, even if you're not physically there.
Mm-hmm. You can also donate.
I just
donate.
So happened to live in Boston, so I was right there in it.
In the thick of it. Right, stealing from all of the shops.
We I saw was you. Not.
We saw I you
was
do not. That.
Mariah was taking North Faces.
I was not doing that. I don't have time for those
No,
games.
But we seen people doing it, though.
Lots
we
of
did see people that we know. We won't mention any names.
I can't say I didn't purchase from the looters. That'd be a lie.
What?
You did?
I'm literally kidding. I didn't do that.
I have to process what
I said. Wait.
I'm kidding. But, no. Okay. So, you know, with that being the times and, you know, our close connections to the feds, because we actually work for them. We decided.
I'm sorry. What?
What is wrong with this girl?
I'm just kidding. We decided to bring a special guest on today's episode, who we are calling, for the purposes of today, Uncle Cop. He's actually my uncle, who is a cop. I don't know, like.
Uncle Cop, would you like to say a few words about
yourself?
Yes,
introduce yourself.
You know, EJ just called me Uncle Cop. I guess that's what I am today.
Wait, yes. for preference, EJ is my family name because everyone knows me as Lala on the podcast. But
that's
okay.
Right.
Yes.
All right, well, what else do you guys want to know?
How long you've been a cop? Tell us how long.
Well, I've been a trooper for 16 years now and going. We... are...
Anna's making hand signals. Like, why do you
have to move your hands? His hands in front of his mouth.
No. I've been a trooper for 16 years. I have been all over the state. And I love what I do for work.
That's good. We love to hear that. Everyone likes to be employed. We love that.
Well, you're right. But you gotta love what you do, though.
Yes.
I love what I do for
That's
work.
That's true.
Yeah.
Continue to dig a hole for yourself.
I can't wait.
Well, what got you interested in it?
You know, it goes way back when I was in Haiti, like growing up in Haiti as a young boy, I saw a lot of know, killings. Going to school, I would walk over dead bodies.
Oh my gosh!
I would witness, you know, women throwing away the young babies. I would witness a lot of people being burnt alive.
Oh wow!
So,
what part did you live in?
Well, because
answer, that's not where I'm from.
It's true, though. It's true because they disagree.
No,
with
I know
sort
it's crazy. Like I know it gets wild down there. Yeah. I just want to know like what part you were
from.
I'm
from Port-au-Prince.
Oh okay.
So, because of all those things that I saw when I was growing up as a kid, because of that, I just wanted to be a cop, and mm-hmm. I wanted to help people. Mm-hmm. But I know that, you know, being down in Haiti, that dream would not be realized until you move to a better country.
Mm-hmm.
So, and here I am. 16 years later, I'm a cop.
A cop for the United States. Okay.
Right.
No, I think that's good. So we're going to get into kind of this interview style podcast with Uncle Cop to kind of, you know, set the record. Honestly, it's a set the record straight style episode where we're going to, you know, take the questions we've had from everyone over the course of like our Instagram and things like that and get all the questions answered that everybody has. So we're excited. Everyone is just excited.
Yes,
trees, trees are blowing.
Well, before we get directly into it, you know, I just wanted to do a moment of how is everyone doing? Cause I feel like we haven't talked on the podcast for a while and, you know, we haven't been in person with each other in a while. So how is everyone doing mentally, physically? Where are we at right now?
Oh, mentally I'm good. It's just that, you know, it's sad to see with, you know, all the protests mixing up with COVID
mm-hmm.
and people being unemployed. But mentally, I'm good.
That's good. Physically?
physically, being you know who I am and what I am, I'm hearing it from everybody, from you know family members, from people that I work with, from mm-hmm. you know black people, white people. So you know, I'm trying to maintain pretty much.
Yeah. I mean,
anybody
I agree.
Anybody else want to say their current status?
No? Well, I'm still single, so.
All right, that's not what we're that's talking
well,
about.
EJ, I like the fact that you're still single.
Good. I'm sure you would.
I think overall I'm pretty good, you know. I could be exercising a little bit more, you know. I'm starting to develop a corona pouch. And mentally, I feel like I'm pretty good. I'm in a good space. I just feel like I'm a little tired, though. I feel like I've actually been working more since coronavirus. Like, they're like, you have more time now, so I'm going to make you do even more stuff.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I haven't been sleeping, honestly. I have not been sleeping.
I haven't either. It's been hard to sleep now. Like, my sleeping pattern is all jacked up.
You just got to pop a melatonin.
It doesn't work anymore.
You got to pop three.
What? Are you crazy? Like.
So now, so far, you purchased stolen items. You're overdosing on drugs.
I think every day is a blessing to be alive. I feel like mentally, it's just a matter of, like, working the exercise of, like, spirituality and making sure, like, you're in tune with what's going on inside. So
mm-hmm.
I feel mentally okay. Physically, I've actually been running more, you know. Nobody really said anything.
I've seen that on Instagram. Good job.
I'm running more. Trying
the
to
thing is, I told her the other day that she's looking good. Like, she's so dramatic.
So I feel like I physically feel okay. But yeah.
Alright.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
So let's jump in. We're going to kind of go through a few questions to set the stage. Well, go through a few things to set the stage of like what's going on for those who don't know, and I feel like Mariah, you're like the best person to like give everyone a frame of reference for what's happening right now from a historical.
Well, if you live underneath a rock, I'm pretty sure everyone has seen like the stuff taking over on social media. This is nothing new. I think it's just been more publicized, more taped of things that we're seeing that's been happening for years of. We feel like
decades,
social injustices that are happening to involve law enforcement, also to involve our governments. I think it's a big pileup of stuff. But more recently, we've seen people outraged with the cases of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, mm-hmm. Breonna Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Elijah McClain.
You know, the list goes on, and it's sad to say. I don't know what other context do you want to against. I think this is the fight that people have been fighting for years to just have this version of equality from back to Martin Luther King before that, mm-hmm. to Harriet Tubman, to going mm-hmm. all the way back to Moses.
Like, literally, freeing the slaves from Egypt. Yes, Pharaoh, take them down.
So I think we're now here in 2020, and I think I see a lot more people are saying, like, okay, I'm done with the feeling like my voice is not being heard. I'm done with feeling like I'm keep on fighting to be in the same place. Yeah. So I think that's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
And I love, like, how the whole country was behind it. It wasn't just, like, oh, protesting in one state. It was all 50 yeah. states doing it.
But, you know,
it.
I don't like the fact that you use the word was. It should still be behind it.
But. Well, yes. You're correct.
So yes. Put you in your place for sure.
Yes, you are correct. You are correct.
So I hope
like
I
that
gave everyone
behind the whole
yes.
thing
a
yes.
good context. If you don't understand the context, there's a website called Google, and it has a lot of stuff on there. You can learn about it.
You know our people don't read.
Stop, Lala. Like
every
take
episode,
a walk,
she says, "Oh, black people don't read."
And they've been saying it for years. You want to have different black people, put it in a book. I keep telling y'all to read. Moving on. Do you guys want to maybe say, like, what, like, how it's affecting you in some way? We'll start with Uncle Cop, actually.
With me? What?
How everything's affecting
the
you.
The current
yeah.
state of
well,
racial tension.
Listen, I'm a cop, first. I'm a dad.
I'm
a dad. First, a husband, and I'm a cop. So, you know, I hear it from everyone, right? Something like that happened with George Floyd and in Minneapolis, and they look at me. Why? Because I wear the uniform. I carry mm-hmm. the gun. Mm-hmm. So whether, you know, I'm a good cop or not, they're looking at me as a bad one. Mm-hmm. And I can understand it, but at the same time, people should understand that, you know, different departments have different set of rules, different department has different set of policies and different laws, so we're not all the same.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. What about you? How's this affecting you, little Anne?
I feel like I'm a little more paranoid going out now. Like, I'm always looking in my rearview mirror, just making sure, like, I'm not speeding or anything, because I don't want to get pulled over for, like, any reason at all. Like, I'm very paranoid now driving.
Well, that means you're a safe driver.
Yes, yes. But I shouldn't be looking behind my back every 5 seconds,
well,
you know?
Let me ask you this question. You're in a dark alley, right? And you're walking, and all of a sudden, you know, you see, forget color, you see two guys walking towards you in a dark alley, and all of a sudden, you know, you see a police car driving by. Do you feel safer when you see the police car, or do you feel unsafe?
Damn it.
That's a good question.
I know.
I mean, I...
Right?
You got me stumped a little bit.
Well,
I mean, yeah, I would feel safer with the cop there if there's two random guys, like, walking towards me. But,
well,
like, if it's just me and the cop, no.
Well, that's how you should feel. You should feel safer when you see police officers behind you or in front of you. And that's what we're trying to accomplish as police officers. Mm-hmm. Again, not all of us are bad.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
So you wanted to make sure you understood that.
I understand.
Playing around.
All right.
No, I think that's, like, an important frame of reference to make, because we do, like, group people together. And, like, mm-hmm. I know as black people, we know firsthand what that looks like when we're all grouped together, as if we all think the same, speak the same, from the same areas.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important, like, we understand that there are differences. What do you think, Mariah? How's it affecting you?
I feel like overall, like, I feel like I started to become a little bit numb to the stories just because we're constantly seeing them.
Yep.
Except for, like, I will say I had my own experience with the police where I was wrongfully arrested just going to a party. I was just standing outside of a party, and I guess things got a little crazy, and they said, let's arrest the first person we can touch. This was in Fall River, by the way.
Yes, put them on
that
blast.
Was not a... a favorite situation of mine. So sometimes I think when I do see these stories, there are certain stories that I feel like, with depending on who the person is, I kind of almost, like, feel myself in their shoes. Like, what if that was me? Or, like, that day that this happened, what if that was my last call to my mom or something? So that's what makes me a little bit shaky. But besides that, I feel like I try. It's like it's almost like you have to normalize it, because you have to keep going every day, living your everyday life. I still have to go to work. I can't just say, hey, boss, So this police shooting just happened, feeling a little shaky, gonna call out to him like, who are you talking to? Or I seen this happen on the news. Like, I just have, like, I had to, my own self, I have to normalize it just so I can compress it. Even though that might not be the best thing, I had to, like, compress things just so that I could keep going with everyday things.
Yeah. I agree. I think because I have, like, an uncle that is a cop, I have, like, an extra lens on how I feel about police. So I don't, like, immediately gravitate towards, like, they're all... He's really putting up the thumbs up sign right now. I don't immediately gravitate towards, like, oh, they're all bad. However, I have seen and experienced cops that are not, that don't have the community at, like, their best interest. So I understand both mm-hmm. sides of it. I try to remain as objective as possible with dealing with the police, just because I know there are always two sides to every story. But I completely understand why communities are hurting, and it is hard for me to, especially now with, like, videos and stuff, it is hard for me to, like, look at videos and not see the injustice being done. Mm-hmm. I don't know how anyone can look at them and not understand, but, yeah, I would say for me, I have, like, two perspectives on it, but it's hard to watch, especially having a little brother that's obviously black, and, like, it's uncomfortable to have conversations and explain things. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you feel like that's not something they should be worrying about. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm always looking to educate and get a better understanding, which I think that's why we're all here today.
Before you go, you know, mm-hmm. my experience with the police when I was growing up in high school.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I had just coming out of soccer practice with two friends of mine. They were both black, mm-hmm. right? He was driving one of those... I think it was a Toyota Corolla, my friend was, and I was in the front seat. Emmanuel, my other friend, was in the back seat, right? And this purple Ford Taurus was following us, coming from, you know, West Roxbury High School. Mm-hmm. And finally put the lights on at Forest Hills in Boston. And two detectives, plain clothes, got out of the car, gun pointed to my head, gun pointed to Emmanuel's head. Get out of the car, get out of the car. Right? Mm-hmm. So I got out of the car, Emilio got out of the car, Greg stood in the car, and he's like, where's your ID? I'm like, well, buddy, I'm only 16 years old. I don't have an ID. Right? And I told them who I was. They ran my information. They ran Emilio's information and Greg's information. Came back negative, obviously. Mm-hmm. And they give us our licenses back our information back. And that was it. No apology, nothing, right? Mm-hmm. So now I could have taken that information and said, you know what? F the cops, you know, or fuck the cops. I could have done that, but no, I didn't do that. Why? Because I wanted to be part of the system. By being part of the system, you make change to the system, mm-hmm. right? Mm. And now you start seeing, you know, a lot of minorities being part of the system by being police officers, by being in politics, by being judges, and you even had a black president in the past mm-hmm. couple of years. Mm-hmm. So we're being part of the system. We're changing the system. It's not mm-hmm. like what it was mm-hmm. in 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. So if we don't like the system, if you want to make changes to the system, then be part of the system. Don't yeah. sit on the sideline, mm-hmm. protest, and do nothing about it. No. Go to school. Be part of the system. Be a police officer. Be a judge. Mm-hmm. Be in politics. Mm-hmm. Be a lawyer. You know, meanwhile, you know, the lawyer who's representing, let's say, someone who committed a crime, who is white and doesn't care about, you know, the little black guy, he's going to, you know, take whatever plea that, you know, they're giving him. Mm-hmm. But if you're representing a black person and you're black, mm-hmm. you're obviously going to care more than a white person would.
Yeah.
So be part of the system.
Yeah.
That's all.
Sad that I let that lawyer thing get slipped through my fingers. I never finished that degree.
Well, I have a question, though.
Yes, go.
So, now that you joined, like, you know, the force and you've been working there for a while, do you think that they actually listen to your concerns and, like, listen to your opinions?
They do. I mean, 16 years ago, maybe not, but now, absolutely, because they know that there is a movement out there, right? Mm-hmm. So they want to listen to us. In fact, we just implemented this this new unit in the state police where we call it the diversity unit, where it's being led by a black captain. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to go out to the different schools in the inner city, talk to the kids, play basketball mm-hmm. with them, and invite them to the state police and talk to them. So, yeah, there's a movement out there, and I think it's for the right reason. And whatever that, as troopers, as black troopers, whatever we tell them, mm-hmm. you know, if it's in reason, obviously they're gonna listen to us.
Mm. Yeah, I think, and that's good that we get into that kind of. Well, you kind of answered that first question on like why you want to become an officer. So if you guys haven't figured out the hot topic already, we're talking to a cop. Okay, but getting into kind of like that first question and like getting everyone to understand like the type of police officer you are, you know, there's differences between state and like local police. So what is, can you let us know what that difference actually is?
Absolutely none. Let me tell you why.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I guess there are some, but when it comes to following the laws, following the policies, because towns, local PDs, or state police, we all follow the same laws, right? We all swore to the Constitution of the United States and the state. But the only major difference is that we are trained differently, right? The state police, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if you guys encountered any troopers on the highway.
Oh, yeah,
and if you do, you can tell the difference. We are trained differently. And where I station, in my academy, I was there for 6 months, a living mm-hmm. academy, Monday through Friday, right? Mm-hmm. I live there, I sleep there, I wake up there, and, you know, it's a paramilitary organization. They yell at you. It's like you're in the military, right? But again, I'm not sure if the same thing is being processed in the local department.
Yeah. Mm.
So I guess that's the major difference between the state police and the, you know, local police department. But we do the same work.
So your training is only for 6 months?
Yes, but every single year, those 6 months training that you receive, every single year you have to redo those trainings again.
Okay.
So for shooting, for example, you have to certify twice a year. Diversity training or DUI training, every single year we go through those things.
Okay.
Yeah. So not just 6 months. I know you're getting it.
Yep, Utah. You know where I was going with that.
Okay.
I came ready.
Let's pick it up, what you was putting down.
Yeah, hold up. Wait a minute.
So you fall at the intersection. Well, do you know why I was asked that? I don't want to be the one asking.
Oh, you couldn't ask. I mean, later. Oh, okay. Since you are a black man, as well as part of law enforcement, do you ever, like, how is that experience? Like, how would you say your experience would be different than that of a, like, a white cop? Or, like, how has that affected your experiences as being part of law enforcement?
You know, as a black police officer, when I first got on 16 years ago, I was approached by another black trooper, and he looked at me and said, you know, I know you work hard, but here's what's going to happen the next 16 years that you're going to be on. If a white police officer, who is your classmate, if he goes out there and write 5 tickets and make 2 arrests, and if you go out there as a black trooper, you make two arrests and issue 5 tickets, they're going to look at your numbers as you're being lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you double what he does. And that's exactly how I approach my work. I'm a hard worker anyway, so mm-hmm. I go out there and just, you know, if you're violating the law, like Ann was, I would stop her, and, you know, I make sure I double my work to mm-hmm. my white counterparts.
Mm. And that's unfortunate that
seriously.
That is, like, the standard, and I feel like that happens in many other, like, career fields as well.
Literally.
It's like that saying, you have to work twice as hard
yeah.
just
yeah.
for the same recognition.
And it was good advice. Mm-hmm. From him, it was absolutely good, because, you know, for 16 years, and I've never taken my foot off the brakes. I've always worked hard for 16 years to be
but
where I am.
But were they justified tickets? Like, I just want to know.
Of course.
I mean, think about that. Like, are y'all just giving me a ticket for the hell of it, or did I really do
right,
something?
Right, you can't let this one slide once.
Check this out, right? During COVID, right, for the past 3 months, I have not stopped anyone going under 100.
Oh, wow.
Everyone that I stop, they're going 110, 120, 137 miles an hour. That was the highest I've stopped. Yeah, 137
EM. I didn't even know my car could do that.
My car would be
so 137. So no, they are justified.
137. Where are they going?
I know.
Like, take flight.
There's no one on the road.
Yeah, even so, I'd still be paranoid about that.
No. I can't drive that.
Well, second part to that question, sorry. Do you feel like it's fair for the public to see you the same way as a white officer? Like, do you think it's fair for them to see you guys all in the same light?
Yeah, because, absolutely. Because again, we wear the same uniform. Mm-hmm. We wear the same uniform. We follow the same laws. We follow the same policies. Yeah. Again, that's what I said earlier, right? If someone in a police officer in Minneapolis, you know, make a mistake, they're not gonna. They're all gonna think that, you know, all police officers are the same until they deal with you personally, right?
But do you think that's fair?
It is. It is fair.
That's interesting.
It's like you're part of a group, just like, for example, like a fraternity.
I was just about to say that.
If one person messes up in the fraternity, they're going to look at everyone in the fraternity like, why did you guys let this happen?
I mean, look at the NFL, for example. Yeah. If one person's not kneeling, then guess what? The entire NFL gets known to, they get known to be as, you know, the son of a bitches.
Yeah.
To our president. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we all get lumped in.
Our president?
Not my president, sorry.
I don't know that.
I don't know that, man. And I'm not gonna lie, in this area, when we passed by, I said, that's a large Trump little factory over there.
Yeah, I did see that. But listen, hey, listen, you know, this is the 45th president of the United States. We cannot complain.
We don't count 45.
If we don't vote.
Yeah, I mean, so I do think the
vote. You have a choice in November to vote, you know, to vote
about. And that reminds me, if you're mailing in your vote, get it out before the actual due date, because you might, you know, have some mischiefs in the mailing system. I don't know, but get your vote in there.
Yeah, get your
so
vote.
So for now, he is our 45th president.
You can't get me to call it. You can't get me to do it. You can't get me to do it because he's actually
45.
Crazy.
We don't count 45.
Because everything he does affects you right now. So he is.
I mean, I acknowledge.
This is why. We are where we are, literally. That's why it's a shit show right now.
You have to vote.
I acknowledge that he's in the office, but I still don't give a damn about that man.
It's okay. It's, I mean, 6 years ago, you know, I'm sure other people didn't give a damn about Obama, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, you know, why do you think there's such a poor relationship between law enforcement and people of color? And thinking about kind of like the history of policing, like, it was legitimately built to capture slaves.
Well,
in the United States.
In the U.S.
I was going to go there, EJ. It's a good question, but don't look at why, look at when. And then once you find out the when, you'll answer the why, right? You just said it. When did it start? It started a long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why, still now, we, as African Americans, we have some sort of distrust for the police.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's like their actions really haven't changed that.
No, I wouldn't say that.
I mean, it has, but it's like, then you see the unjust cases, people going to jail for, like, unfair reasons and stuff. It's
well,
like,
listen, then don't blame the police. Let me tell you who to blame for it, right? Well, let's get to it. Let's get into it. Let's get the heat going.
Level 3 heat.
Let's get the heat going. Don't say the police are arresting them for no reason. If you don't think the police should make an arrest based on that reason, then let's talk to the politicians.
The lawmakers.
They're the one that, thank you, Mariah.
No, Mariah, but I want you to see how he spelled your name.
They're the one who makes the policies. They're the one who make the laws, okay? So
yes.
We're only there to follow the laws and policies. We're only there to effect an arrest based on the laws that are established by the politicians. So don't get mad at just the police. Get mad at the politicians that you guys are electing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't like the laws, if you don't like the policies, make sure you vote them out. Mm. That's all. I'm sure, and listen, the 44th president said it all the time. Right? He always says it. Don't boo, just vote, right? Don't complain, just vote. Vote them out. That's all.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because if you actually look into it, there's a lot of legislation that is directly going against people of color. So then there's these officers who may take advantage of those certain laws, and there you go.
Right. So you know, laws and policies are two different things, right? You have the laws established by the politicians, right? And you have the policies established by the command staff with the police. So the laws are made by the politicians. If you don't like them, vote them out. But the policies also need to be changed by the administration, by the command staff, right? So it is very important, extremely important for the command staff to listen to your cries and change those policies, because if those policies are not changed, if those laws are not changed, guess what? You're gonna have those bad police officers who falls under the umbrella of those bad laws, right? And that's the reason why they don't go to jail if they do something wrong, right? Because those policies and those laws covers them.
Yeah.
You know.
No, it's actually pretty scary, and like you think a lot of people fall into the trap of feeling like, well, my vote doesn't matter. And maybe that feeling is when it comes to the president, but even I like fault myself for this. Like, I don't know if I put enough attention into like local voting and like local, you know, congressmen and things like that, who then influence like what happens in these like respective areas of government, whether that's the Senate or the House, which inform the president. So it's like we maybe have to do more education around local, you know, government, and then work our way up with policing. But I don't know. I couldn't even tell you what's going on in my area right now. Like, I really don't know.
Well, that's the reason why you need to get informed and be informed.
And maybe I need to start reading.
Maybe you need to start reading while I'm talking all that shit.
Okay, so what areas do you think need improvement in law enforcement?
You know, I have been saying that for the longest time. All right, before I say what I have to say, what do you guys think needs to be changed?
Well, we've never been asked a question by the guests.
I would like to see, like, I think the relationship between the public and law enforcement can be improved. So instead of it being like, I'm the authority figure, like, I have this power over you, make it more like, I am here to like protect you, and I'm here to enforce these laws that are made to protect you, and have like a better relationship instead of it just like no, or like just that angry authoritative figure,
like a power trip. If you can see it, like, come with me, come to me with like respect, but not in a like a I'm talking down to you, or like, you know what I mean, like I'm a child, because we're all adults at the end of the day.
Some deserve it. Yeah.
No, I think that I said this when I was in college too, because even the police on campus, like, they only be showing up when we're at doing parties. Like, I want police to show up like when, you know, we're doing a block party in the community, or we're doing like something good for the kids. Like, I want them to show up when the community's doing well, not just when we are in distress.
All right, well, all of your concerns probably fall under what I'm going to say, right? Because nationally, police officers only need a high school diploma in order for them to be a police officer.
And there's the problem.
Right? They only need that. So my point is, if we want to make real changes, right, then let's start by having all police officers to at least have an associate degree. That's step one, because I have my master's degree, right?
Let's say. Yes, yes. Let's pause for that. Yes, yes.
I'm joining the club.
I have my master's degree. So now let's say I respond to a house party or a domestic that Ann was probably having with her boyfriend.
Wow.
He's coming for me today.
To a domestic that she was probably having with her husband or boyfriend, right? And I have my partner who only has a high school diploma, and I have my master's degree, and I respond there. So my reaction to de-escalate the problem might be different than my partner who only has a high school diploma, right?
Yeah.
Who just wants to, you know, beat up on you, or, you know, yell at you or scream at you or talk down to you. Meanwhile, I know how to approach it, right? By talking to you, by calming you down, by separating you guys, right? Same thing with a house party, like Lala mentioned earlier. Right?
My family does all Lala. They all think it's a joke.
You know, a house party where my partner, who only has a high school diploma, might approach it totally differently than I would approach it, right? Because you know, I'm dealing with young kids who just want to have fun. So my reaction to that might be totally different. So I'm thinking that nationally they should have, you know, all police officers to at least have a minimum of an associate degree. And that would solve a lot of problems, I think.
But shouldn't, like, even if they don't have an associate's degree, shouldn't that be part of the training that, like, they know how to...
It should be. It should be. But you're right. It should be. But my reaction to that training is totally different from his reaction to the training. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Right.
Because, like, depending on what you've been exposed to, like, a small town boy, like, growing up in, like, in a neighborhood of...
Right.
Or an area of, like, 500 people is going to be different from, like, Boston, where we're exposed to more. Mm-hmm. So we see more. We have, like, this, like, wider lens.
Right.
Yeah, I'm all for people getting educated more. Like, I think that's a better... I'm really confused why it only takes a high school diploma, so...
Well, it's a requirement. However, though, I gotta tell you, in any department that I know in the Northeast, if someone is applying to be a police officer who has a high school diploma, and then versus someone who has a bachelor's degree, then most likely that person with a bachelor's degree will probably get on the force than the person with the high school diploma.
Okay.
I'm not going to say that for, you know, New York or
the
Virginia.
South.
Right.
Yeah,
the
right.
South.
We all know they're confused. Right. Okay.
We're going to get hate mail.
So what are you feeling towards the statement, defund the police?
I hate it.
Oh,
and let me tell you why. Because as you can tell, our current president is actually using that against that movement, right? Mm-hmm. Because that saying, defunding the police, and the reason why he's using it is because he knows that the 65 to 70-year-old white lady who lives in the suburb is going to be afraid of that, you know, defunding the police.
Fair tactics.
So if you want to really change, you know, the movement, then let's talk about reform, reforming the police, reforming the policies, reforming the laws. But don't say defunding the police because, I mean, you can say it all you want, but the person who wants, who's going to make the laws are going to listen to the 65-year-old, the 70-year-old white lady who, you know, who is against defunding the police.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to be part of the movement, too. They want to reform the police, but not defunding the police.
Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about reallocate their funds?
It's still not right.
Well, wait a second.
Let me tell you
they're
why.
Making like 60. What was they spending
like
in
New York? Their budget was like $6 million or something.
Yeah, but listen, not too long ago, Mariah, not too long ago, in 2001, New York was attacked by, you know, terrorists, right? That left 3,100, 3,500 people dead. So we're trying to prevent that from happening. And by preventing it from happening, you have to fund the police, right? You have to fund the police to prevent it from happening. And I'm sure, and that you probably guys don't, you guys don't know, and I sure don't know, that they probably stop a lot of terrorists from bombing or killing people in New York, right? So now if you defund the police, and you said, let's put the money elsewhere, then how do you prevent that from happening in New York? How do you prevent it from happening in Boston, like the Boston Marathon bombing, right? How do you prevent that from happening if you start defunding the police? So I think what we're looking for as a group, okay, I'm inserting myself in that movement, is reforming the police. Let's reform the policies. Let's reform the laws, not defunding the police.
I mean, I think there's still space for someone to sit down and, like, really comb through the budget and see where there might be areas that's like, all right, this is a little excessive.
Like what?
I'm not sure.
When you hear police officers are making $200,000 or $250,000, right, it's not their salary, right? Those police officers are... missing birthdays, they're not sleeping at home, they're missing, you know, a day at the beach. Why? Because they work in overtime. They're working overtime, and, you know, like yourselves are probably working 40, 45, 50 hours a week, right? Meanwhile, those police officers are working 60, 70, 80 hours a week so they can, you know, make a living. So when you hear them making $250,000 a year, they're just not given the $200,000 a year. They're earning that $250,000 a year. So... their salary might just be $70,000, $80,000 a year. right? So instead of the department hiring someone else to pay $70,000 a year, that's going to be making $70,000 a year every single year for the next 25 years and paying all the benefits. Instead of doing that, then they put that money towards overtime. So they won't have to pay all the benefits. So in other words, they're making $120,000 a year to $250,000 a year. So it's really not money that they're not earning. They're actually earning that money. Not going to birthday parties, not sleeping at home every single night, by working details. I'm sure you guys, you know, when you're driving home at night, you see the police officers on the side of the road directing traffic, right? Mm-hmm. So think about that person making $250,000 a year. He's earning it.
But I be when I see them, honestly, I gotta tell you, I'd be like, they ain't doing nothing.
Like, yeah, but you know,
they barely direct the traffic right now. I might as well get
hit.
But
like, besides salaries, is I'm assuming there's a lot more things that go into like a budget for a police, for like a local government, for example. Like, it's more than just the salaries. Like, what other things? There may be areas that like, okay, maybe we'll reduce how much they get for this particular thing, not necessarily like just salaries.
Okay, so I'm thinking you're going to, along the line of, let's put the money towards community service.
Yes, right, or like education.
No, we do that.
Okay.
Well, as a department, I'm telling you, from my mm-hmm. we do that. We, like I said earlier, we go to the schools. We have basketball leagues for in the inner cities. We do different things with minorities in the community. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, mm-hmm. again, I'm just talking where I work.
Yeah.
I can't really talk about what New York and other departments are doing, but we do that in mm-hmm. the police department. But I totally understand your concern, though, when it comes to putting the money elsewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, like, the education system is really where I feel the most, like, where it starts to trigger me, because I see we're spending like $6 million in New York, for example, in police, but there are classrooms that are outdated, teachers that are underpaid, and that is the, like, that is the future. Those kids are the future. Mm-hmm. They impact what will happen with crime. They impact policy. So, like, where I feel like the money should be is an investment in the youth.
Well, you're totally wrong, AJ.
Wow.
Let me tell you why. Because, you know,
wow.
when it comes to money being sent to the police and money being sent to the schools, totally different departments here. Then talk about the Department of Education, okay? Don't talk about public safety. Public safety is a totally different movement than Department of Education. So if you want more money for education, then talk about, you know, let's talk to Betsy DeVos, I think her name is, who is the Secretary of Education under our current president. So yeah, put the money there. Then don't talk about the police funding to move that money towards education, because they're totally different. It's like you're talking about, sugar and salt.
Mm. But what about, like, you know, I try to, like, simplify the things that we're paying for. So, like, if there are six things we're paying for, the president's looking at all these six things, whether that's, you know, infrastructure, police, education, and he's deciding like what he's allocating the money to. Like, you don't think there should be reallocation of, like, if we're spending $6 million here, we need to maybe like shave a little bit off there to put in these other areas? Like, to me that makes sense. It's like looking at budget, reviewing your budget to say in one area needs more help, where can we cut back in this area?
Well, the president just gave the military a shitload of money.
Is that, right? Not under the same, like, umbrella, though?
No, it's not. Because, you know, you have the Department of Homeland Security, you have Public Safety, you have the Department of Education. So each one of those departments get their own funding, right? So if you want to take more money out and give it to the, you know, Department of Education, then let's look at, you know, the military, for example, right? Are we being attacked right now? No, but we are preventing an attack from happening. Am I right? Which you probably don't know. So if you take money from the police, are you being safer, or are you preventing things from happening, or domestics from happening?
Why do you keep pointing at me?
I'm just saying, like, you gotta.
No,
like,
you'd be in the most situation.
No, I'm not. He's trying to make me seem like I'm violent. I'm not a violent person.
But you gotta prevent
things. It is 4-1.
You gotta prevent things from happening.
Lala?
You are 4-1.
Okay,
Lala. Okay. Well, let's get into the questions from the audience because, you know, want to make sure they're included here. Someone asked... Yeah, I think we're
I was
like,
just looking at the time. Yeah, I think we're doing good.
Can you talk about police training and why officers shoot to kill?
You know, if someone is pointing a knife at you, do you want to go fight the person with your hands or do you want to fight the person with something, something that can possibly kill the person?
But why would you automatically go to a gun? You have the taser.
Okay. So let's talk about a knife and a taser. Okay. A knife can kill you 25 feet away. By the time you pull the taser out, it takes 25 feet for the person to run at you with a knife and kill you. So a gun, if someone is, you know, we have what we call use of force continuum in the police office, in the police department, right? Which means that if the person is fighting with you hand to hand, it's okay to do that. Fight the person hand to hand, right? But if the person has an item, let's say, you know, a bottle, right? Am I going to fight the person hand to hand with a bottle or am I going to pull out my taser?
Your taser.
Right. So if the person has a taser now, see where I'm... where I'm going with it, use of force continuum. So something higher than the, what the person has, right? So mm-hmm. if the person has a taser, am I going to fight a taser with a taser?
No.
No. So a person has a taser at me, pointed at me, am I going to take my gun to fight him with the taser?
Yes, you will.
Seems like yes. I don't know.
Is right.
it the right
yes.
answer?
Yes. So, yeah.
Yes, so I see where you're going with this.
So that's how we've been trained. And mm-hmm. we don't shoot to injure, we shoot to kill.
But why can't you be shooting
to injure?
Yeah, why
can't you shoot to injure?
Because this leg, those skinny legs that you see here.
Well, not mine.
I can actually miss those legs, right? Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Do I have a lesser chance to miss here, this part of the body, like your torso area? No. Right? You have a better chance to hit the person here, am I right?
But then they don't get their justice.
Could that mean that you need to work on their aim?
Well, the only... But no, the only reason...
Right.
The only reason why... The only reason why you shoot to kill is because that person, the threat, is threatening someone else or threatening my life. So, because I want to protect you and I want to protect myself, that's the only reason why I'm pointing that gun at that person to tell that person to stop.
The threat, though, is subjective, though.
Well, based on what? Based on your training or based on my training?
No, based off the person. Like, training only goes so far. Like, we've seen where people, like, for examples,
like, something that you may not, like,
give me
be
an
so
example.
Afraid
Just
of.
Just give me an example in the
so
past
say
three
you,
years that you've seen on
no,
television.
No, what is the shooting? Her was it wasn't Sandra Bland, her boyfriend in
Philando
the car.
Philando Castro.
Yeah.
Yes.
Philando Castile.
Like,
listen, I'll tell you when it's wrong and I'll tell you when it's right. If I remember correctly, he had a license to carry.
He
right?
did.
Yes.
And he was in the passenger seat. Am I right?
No, he was in the driver's
side.
Seat.
Wasn't he the one, the
no,
girlfriend
no,
was driving?
No, 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 the girlfriend was
the
driving.
Girlfriend was
he
driving.
Was on the
he
side.
He was in the passenger seat, and then he
oh,
was telling the police officer.
She was recording
yes,
the, yes.
Yeah.
Right, so he was telling the police officer, I have a gun, and I do have my license, and then the police officer said, go ahead and get your license, or something like that.
Yeah.
And as he was about to reach for it, and the police officer got nervous and shot the person. And
yeah.
Right, so totally wrong mm-hmm. what he did. Totally wrong what the police officer did. Okay, again, I'll tell you when it's right, and I'll tell you when it's wrong. Like, for example, the shooting in Atlanta recently.
Rashad.
At the Wendy's?
At the Wendy's,
yes.
right?
Oh, okay.
Yes, extremely complicated as a police officer when you're watching it. Extremely complicated. I know mm-hmm. as you, when you watch it, you're like, oh, that police officer should go to jail. He should die, right? But as a
right.
police officer, as a police officer, based on my policies, based on the policies that I follow, which you just said earlier, right, and if he shoots a taser, if he's putting a taser at you, then you go higher. And you did agree with me on that one, did you not?
I don't know.
It is recorded. It is recorded.
Okay, I did. I'm sorry.
It is recorded, so.
You tricked me with your words.
It is, a, it is on record that you did
say. Yo, he's coming for me today.
If you pointed a taser at you, then it's okay for you to point a gun at him, right? So that's what happened. So when I say it's complicated, I think that police officer was following policies. I'm not saying that, you know, charging him is wrong. They can charge him, which they did, but let the justice system deal with it.
But did he have a weapon? He didn't have a weapon.
He did. He had the taser. Which you admitted that if he points a taser at you, you can shoot.
All right. Cut the shit out.
Cut the fucking out. But, like, do you think there would ever be a point where they would be able to, like, enact training to, like, for example, someone who maybe is from a small neighborhood, they don't see a lot of, like, people of color. They may have from social media and the news, they may have this perception like, oh, if I see a certain person, like, I might automatically think they're more dangerous because of my outside perception. Like, could we, is there trainings already in place to, like, kind of lower that?
But listen, here's who I blame for that, okay? It is deeply rooted in Hollywood, right? Because any movies that you watch, you know, who is in the corner of the street selling drugs?
Yeah.
Blacks, right? Who is carrying a gun? Who is in gangs? Hispanics and blacks, right? And you see the white kid with his nice Mercedes going into those neighborhoods to buy guns or to buy drugs. That's what you see on television, right? So when those people who are becoming police officers, those white police officers who are becoming police officers, right? They go into those neighborhoods, guess what they're going to think?
Yeah.
That black kid is probably selling drugs, or that black kid is probably... No, it is deeply rooted in Hollywood.
And it's like, you see the images so constantly that even if you don't, like, want to say that, like, oh, like, no, I don't believe that, like, you can say it outward, it's like in the back of your mind, you still kind of have, like, that idea. Yeah.
We all have biases.
Yeah.
We all do. And I'm sure, you know, when Ann was driving, she probably saw a white person driving down the road or walking down the road. Her, but she probably had some sort of bias, right?
And when petrified of white people.
So we all
there's
have
no
lie.
Yeah.
You know, police officers are also people. Okay, whether they wear the uniform or plain clothes detectives, we all have our own biases. The real question is, can you control it? Right? Can you control your bias when you see a black kid walking down the street or a white kid walking down the street in a black neighborhood? Right? He's not automatically buying drugs or guns. He could be going to see his friends. So we all have our own bias.
Would you be willing to hold your fellow officers accountable? Because I think people from the audience were getting at, you know, officers perpetuate the bystander effect.
That happens at times, and I can honestly tell you, based on my 16 years of experience, what happened in Minneapolis, right, where Officer Chauvin was kneeling on the guy's head or neck, and the other three officers, who were pretty much brand new on the force, right, they were looking at him, and based on his training, they're like, in their mind, they're thinking...
Like he knows
it's okay.
Better.
It's okay to do based on what he's doing. In fact, you could hear one of them say, well, can I turn him over? And then he says, no, let's keep him that way. So we can do that. We do that where we tell police officers, or I tell another police officer, no, that's not the right thing to do. So after 16 years, I have rank now where I can tell someone, hey, listen, what you did was wrong. Put it on paper and let's talk about it. So, yeah, I do hold him accountable.
So do you think, or have you seen that, like, someone who is of lower rank, if they question, like, someone with seniority, they're kind of, like, just, like, pushed to the side?
No, not where I work. Because, again, we're really a paramilitary organization. So what I say, if I'm a higher rank than you, if I tell you to do something, then you do it. You don't question it. You don't question it at all. No.
Damn, that's scary.
Ian, do you have any questions?
No.
You want to finish that last one?
The last question from the audience?
Okay. So the last question is, have you ever witnessed a situation fueled by racism on the job?
I don't know. That's a hard question.
I don't know.
You don't know.
That's a hard question to answer. Fueled by racism?
I'm not buying Gatorade. Like,
like, have you had anything happen, like, maybe to you personally, or like, have you been in a situation where there was, like, maybe an arrest happening that you felt like, oh, like, this might not like be a
questionable arrest?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I see it all the time with both blacks and whites. It's not just, it doesn't just happen to black people. Granted, I might see more African Americans being brought in based on the area where we were focusing on, meaning that it's a drug infested area or a crime infested area, then yeah, we might focus on that area more, and then as a result of that, you get a lot more African Americans into the barracks as prisoners. So yeah, it's we try to focus on where the crimes are being committed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if I got arrested,
yes, which I hope you don't.
If I got arrested, and the cop, you know, said that it was justified, and you found out like it wasn't, or you felt like there was another reason he did it, would you be willing to go against the grain because I am your goddaughter, or would you go by policy? Because I feel like, you know, we don't actually feel things till it happens to us personally.
Uh-huh. No, let's go back to those shootings and those injustices that you see on television, right? When you guys look at them, you're automatically looking at the actual action, right? The person being killed or the person being beaten or killed. So when I look at it as a police officer, I look at the totality of the circumstances, right? Which means that you have to look at what started it all, right? How did it start? Where did it start? The who, what, when, and where. But meanwhile, when, you know, because you guys are not police trained, you're just looking at the what. But you have to look at the who, what, where, and when as a police officer. So the, again, the Atlanta shooting, why did it happen? Well, it happened because someone called the police. Why did the police respond? Because someone called the police. When the police got there, what happened? When the police got there, they started talking to the person. Was the person coherent? No, he was asleep. Did the police officer tell him to move the car? He did. Did he move the car? No, he fell asleep again. Am I right? So finally he moved the car and the police officer got him out of the car, searched him and what have you. So was the person being compliant? He was at first, okay? And because of, based on the police officer's interrogation and investigation, he determined that the person was intoxicated, right? Yes? So he started placing the person under arrest, am I right? Was he compliant then? So that's what I mean by looking at the totality of the circumstances. Was the person compliant then? No, he wasn't, because he took off running. He pushed the police officer and took off running. Then what happened next? The police officer tackled the person and they started fighting. Right? Was he tased? He was tased. Now, what happened next? Did the police officer lose his taser? Did the person grab the taser away from the police officer? Yes, he did. Was there a chase? Yes, there was a chase. A foot pursuit, am I right? Now, the police officer had a couple of options. He could have stood back and let the person run away, or call for backup where the helicopter can come and trace the person down, or he could have just said, you know what, I already know the person, I already have his information, I'll just get him later. But he made a decision to chase the person, which is completely fine, right? So what was turned at the police officer? Was it a hand or was it a taser? It was a taser.
What was a hand? You said earlier.
So look at the totality of the circumstance. Don't just look at the actual shooting. Look at everything before you.
But even looking at the totality, like, I think where we argue, it does go back to like policy, because then we're just like, I don't like the policy of like shooting to kill. Like, I just don't like that.
We don't listen. We don't put on the uniform every single morning and say, you know what, today I'm going to kill someone. No, we don't do that. What we say is, every single time we put on that uniform, is that my job and my goal is to come back home to my family. And that's every police officer. I guarantee you can ask anyone who wears that uniform. That's exactly what they'll tell you. But the moment that you call, or you call, or you call because you are being, you know, you're in a situation where you can't control it, you have to call someone else to help you out, right? Then that's where I come in. as a police officer. We don't just wear the uniform to shoot and kill. No, we don't do that.
I feel attacked.
Do you guys have more fire or more heat or what?
I think that was the last question from the audience.
That was the last one from the audience. Is there any other, like, just questions you've always wondered, you guys,
before
that you want to ask?
I think I saw something where you guys wanted to know, how can you behave or how can you act when you get stopped?
Yes. Oh, right? Did we miss that?
That's in the cooldown.
Oh, okay, yeah. Let's get into the cooldown. So we're gonna get into the cooldown, guys, where we kind of wrap up this area, some important next steps, best practices that we like to leave with everyone. But more specifically for this episode, we will do next steps and best practices for encountering the police. So go ahead, tell us what we need to do when we get pulled over.
You know, I got a call from a friend of mine the other day, and she's like, the police officer stopped me and started yelling at me, and I asked him why he stopped me. Then he told me that I didn't have a light on my plate. And she's like, is that legal? I'm like, well, yeah, you're supposed to have a light on your plate. Especially at night, when, as a police officer, you want to stop the car, but you can't see the license plate, mm-hmm. right? That is a violation. So mm-hmm. you're supposed to have it. So a lot of people don't know the laws. They don't mm-hmm. know the policies like we do. So it's okay to question it. Mm-hmm. But when we stop you as a police officer, the first thing out of your mouth shouldn't be, why'd you stop me? Yeah, listen, I get it that you guys are upset, or we're upset about it, right? Mm-hmm. But don't say that. That's the worst thing you can do. If the police officer was going to give you a break, then he's not, or she's not going to give you a break anymore based on that one question, like, why'd you pull me over? Obviously, there's a reason that mm-hmm. the police officer is going to pull you over.
Is there always?
But let me tell you, if that happens, EJ, where you're questioning it, you can always take it to court and let the court system.
Ain't nobody got time for that. What if I have two kids? My man is gone. Like,
and the court system isn't always fair.
Yeah, right.
Let's throw that out there.
But guess what? If he's stopping you or she's stopping you for a light on your plate, then fix it before you go to court and just tell the judge, Your Honor, I fixed a license plate light. Then guess what? It's going to get dismissed. Okay.
If we can only hope.
No, it'll get dismissed. So first thing you do when police officers pull you over is, especially at night, you turn that light on inside the car. You turn it on because that's also a violation. Maybe you guys don't know.
I did not know that.
You turn that light on so the police officer can see the inside of the car. Okay. Mm-hmm. You don't want him to worry about what's going on inside the car. So turn that light on. Mm-hmm. Second thing you do, you have two options, right? One, roll down the driver's side window. You can either put your hands out like this.
Don't
put it back in. Just put it out just like that outside a window, the driver's side, so he or she, as a police officer, can feel safe walking up towards that car. Or you just put your hands on the wheel. Don't move until
I like that hands on the wheel.
Yeah. Right. Because I feel like putting my hands out the window sounds like I'm surrendering. No. We never said I am.
What?
But you want the police officer to feel safe. That's all. Or you can put your hands on the wheels until he or she walks up to the car. Okay, mm-hmm. And then he says, license and registration, don't say anything as to, why'd you pull me over? Nope, that's going to happen. Then you give him the license, you say, officer, I'm going to take my license, is it okay? It's right there. Yes, it's okay. Give it to him or her. And then the next question is, the reason why I'm stopping you is because of that. So let it play out. Don't be the aggressor when you get stopped. Don't yell at the police. Okay?
We won't.
Don't yell at the police.
Okay, wait. Was there anything else you guys wanted?
For the cool down. No, I think we were just wrapping it up. I think this is like a really good episode, really informative. Especially it was nice to like be able to sit down with you like person to person level. I think I already said it before. I think the one takeaway I would like to see, like from overall in law enforcement, I would just like to see more of a relationship where we're able to feel like we can go to the police for that protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I mean, the numbers don't lie. Like, there obviously is a disproportionate amount of men and women of color that are affected by the police than women. Like, that's just pure data. I mean, than women, than white people. That's just data. But, I would like to see that number pushed differently, or just, like you said, invest more time in understanding policy and law, because it does start there. It's not just like our president that we should be worried about. So, I think this was like super informative.
Yes, I agree.
And?
I'll just piggyback on what Mariah said, more of a trusting relationship between like civilians and police officers. Also police officers who are more familiar with the area that they're policing in, not having like people from out of town coming to it, you know, that just causes unnecessary like conflict for no reason.
So, in other words, we should look like the community that we serve.
That you're police, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's really good.
Yeah. I think I'll just say that.
What about you? Are you happy that you got to sit down with some civilians?
I'm extremely happy. I was expecting more heat than that.
Oh! Wow! More heat?
He said we didn't get spicier.
Yeah, but I like it. It's the first one, so yeah.
I guess we'll have a part two.
Yeah,
hopefully we can go live next time.
Yeah. Yes.
IG live.
Yeah, we could.
Where we can get some really hard and tough questions from the audience.
Yeah, I think people are probably going to scream profanity at you.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm used to it.
I think that's
one. You have no idea. When I attended this protest in Providence, 12,000 people, right?
Jeez.
Black men, black women, white people. In fact, 98% of the protesters were white, right? Mm-hmm. So young kids as young as 4, 5, 6 years old walking towards me. And I'm thinking they're all going to, you know, hi, trooper, and like that. Nope, that didn't happen. It's like, fuck the police. I'm looking at them like, what?
We love a young protester.
Yeah, it was strange to see young kids yelling at me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm used to people swearing at me, so yeah, I'm good.
That's so funny. All right, guys, we are closing out this episode. As always, we want to make sure that everybody washes their hands and wears their masks. We're sick of this damn disease. Stop contributing to the problem. Mm-hmm.
Also, if you need a mask, follow Fitted by Fertilis.
Oh, yes.
On Instagram. Yes. I never got to shout it out on the podcast.
Oh, really? Yes. Mm-hmm. And So's, you know.
My dad. So's. He's a tailor.
Well, her father, she just kind of does the embroidery, but yes.
What's the name of the company?
Fitted by Fertilis. Yes. We sell face masks.
I'm sure they could see that here.
I was showing your uncle.
Oh, here it is.
And we want to thank you again, Uncle Cop, for sitting down with us. You know?
My makeup is on.
Cute, I guess.
Yes. No, we want to thank you, Uncle Cop, for sitting down.
Anytime.
This was awesome.
Anytime.
I can't wait to see what we record next. Thank you guys for tuning in. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social at Level 3 Heat. And we will see you this next episode.
See ya.
Bye.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were 8 and you had bad traits, you go to school.